Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Out even shy, singing the words you can't say, talking about leaving, loving alone, saying goodbye, all that good stuff. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend. What am I pretending this week? Don't know. I took a fall. Took a fall today. Took a fall today, ladies and gentlemen. I knew it was coming, but no damage. I'm good. With me tonight, A.P. Taylor from Down Under, the man from Snowy River. Is that right? A.P. Taylor, welcome.
Yeah, Pat. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And, of course, we've got Deborah Lee. She's in the back doing all the heavy lifting, so me and A.P. can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you, Deborah.
My pleasure.
Tonight, Saturday, we have a couple things. We have our long-awaited, most stubborn collaboration between myself and AP. Finally got it together. We'll be reading it tonight. I hear it's a good one. And we had a prompt of what are you most thankful for? Give us a taste of what you're thankful for in any form.
And?
In any form except novels and haikus. Yeah, AP. Yeah.
Well, that's quick. We have Stephen online, ready to talk to us about this very topic.
We let Andorians in early. Let's let them in.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
Hello, good. Kay is with me, too.
And
Kay.
Kay is
with
me. Kay, how are you?
Nemesis.
Excellent. Well, I'm most excited because we have two entries here on the board. I put Stephen's up and it's gone missing because there's so many other people putting stuff on the board. So, you know, it was there and now it's miles away. So I'm going to go put it back. So I'm going to post it twice. So we'll find it again. But yeah, we've got both Stephen and Kay on this very subject matter.
Cool. Being thankful. How thankful are you?
That's the one.
Now I'm going to say right after that, I thought it was going to be a good a topic, a good prompt for myself to I could work through, get some ideas through the week, and then sit down today and write it up. I am struggling. I have nothing but a bunch of thoughts. But that happens. That happens. I blame it on the fall.
Let's say. So maybe we'll get you to work on it while we get either one of Stephen or Kay to kick things off. Yeah. So, Stephen and Kay, I've got both of your poems up. Who wants to kick off?
Do you want to go first, hon? You want to go first?
I don't know. What's your side?
Well, I mean, I saw your poem, so I clicked on it. So I have your poem open.
I guess I go first.
Hey, look, I wouldn't want to go after Kay. I wouldn't. Yes, sir.
You realize this is, it's a great topic, but it's a loaded one, too, because I had changed my write-out three different times because there's a lot of things I'm thankful for. So
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah. I will say my first write that I did drop down but then changed out was about my cat, but then I thought that would make me look stupid and silly, so I took that out because I am grateful for my cat.
Well, we know you got to read them both. You got to give us, you got to show us what it was first. Because we go through the same thing. We do stupid
stuff.
Your
choice, ultimately. Writer's choice, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So I will say at the end of the day, yes, I'm thankful for my cats. I'm thankful for the family that I do have because the blood family that I do have is very small, but they're very important to me. So I'm thankful that I have that. And, of course, I'm thankful for the friendships that I have, especially here because I do have friends outside of All Poetry, but I have friends here in All Poetry as well. And they all bring something different to the table that the most is special. So this was a route that I chose, and I call this Branches of Love. Friendship is a root of freedom that flourishes, the comfort of caring that warms. Trust given to one another is a shoulder leaned on. True friendship should not laugh or mock. Listen with open ears. Offer advice if asked. The admiration that encourages a doubtful self when difficulties arise. A good friend will be there to help. A woven bond that runs deep in connection. The dear hearts that I consider family. Love and friends who become brothers, sisters. The roots that grow and spread as the seeds sown. Blooming colorfully because of you and Paul.
Mm.
I like
spreading the seeds, though.
I like that friends are around to encourage and to help and to bind. And that somehow is connected. It's almost like the roots of all of the trees are connected in some way, with as if you're friends. And, you know, sometimes one friend needs to call on another and sometimes you call on a friend, but at the end of the day, it's a sort of equal and opposite system, and it works. And I like the metaphors in that and how that comes together. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have it under good knowledge that they do like to sit around in between trees and eat cake and read poetry. Weave flowers through your hair. Okay.
Forgot the ice cream by the lake.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That'd
be reflected in your palm. That'd be reflected in your palm. That's all I can say.
True friendships never laugh or mock. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you somebody just say my name?
Oh, yeah. I said you did.
Deb,
yes.
You know, I thought this was beautiful when you had brought it a couple years ago. I can't believe it's been a couple years. I mean, come on. Time's flying, isn't it? aside from the poem, you guys just celebrated your second year. In March, we're going to celebrate our third. Time flies. And just... it's like you just read the poem yesterday, because I do remember it, especially some of the parts about encouraging others with difficulties, and loving friends that become brothers and sisters, proving unconditional love. And now I'm reading my past comment. compassion truly does exist. I think that it came out really great. And towards the beginning, friendship is the root of freedom that flourishes. I love the first sentence. Absolutely adore it. Great share.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I love that you mentioned before that the good friends that you have, you've met here on the shows. So the question is, who do you like the most?
Now, come on now. You can satisfy somebody.
The answer, Catter. Don't you know that
okay,
yet?
Right.
Or Queen Victoria. I think it might depend on Kay's mood. Just saying.
Well, I would hope it would be Stephen.
yeah, probably.
Well, that's up.
Beautiful. I told you guys once before, what a great addition you two Andorians have been to this radio gig thing, and it's you are outstanding being hosts of your own shows and coming on ours. Just lovely people, lovely. I said lovely.
Lovely.
Thank you. Yes, you are.
Yeah, it's cool to see Deb pop in all the time and share all these cat pictures with me. Sometimes it makes me feel like I'm probably like a little girly girl, but I love my cats.
Yeah, it's all about making people smile. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a girly to like kitties. They're adorably cute. Plus, I have fun looking for them.
I appreciate it.
So, you don't even have to really be a writer as long as you make people laugh and let you on.
Yeah.
No. in the corner. I'm sorry, AP, go ahead.
No, I was just going to think we should get Stephen to read, because otherwise he might miss what is apparently some whiz-bang sort of collaboration we just put together.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we got a story behind that too, I guess.
Mm.
All right.
Sorry. Can we get you up to the microphone?
I will definitely say that I am also thankful for all the friends that I have made here at All Poetry and on the Blog Talk. Yeah. It has definitely given us a whole other family in a way that we all care about and look forward to talking to and having fun with, so I'm definitely thankful for that. And of course, I'm thankful for my wife Kay and for my cats too. I love my cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Queen,
I am going to
Queen Victoria,
say that,
Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, Queen Victoria. She's one of the hosts.
Victoria.
How many cats have a hashtag?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Yes, she is hashtagged on all of her shows. Queen Victoria.
She has her own little tag. She's a special guest.
Yes. I brought something a little different, though, tonight, because when I saw What Are You Thankful For, it made me think of Thanksgiving, and I actually just recently wrote a Thanksgiving poem.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the poem to the painting. The painting, what's it called? The name of the painting is actually Alzheimer's by Elisheva Mises, but that painting made me think of Thanksgiving dinner and all the missing people from the past. So I call this with lyrics from James Taylor, "I Always Thought That I'd See You Again." Thankful family feasts reduce each year, two or three less settings. Gravy wishes go unheard by those now under soil pressings. Turkey talks of memories bring weeps of salted barns. Potato pines of lost blood kin, now silenced jokes and charms. Sausage stuffing, stolen smiles, a crunch of sliced toast topping. Cranberry cries echo for miles of epochs and bygones not stopping. Unpotted peas roll on china plate, barren print of feathered fowl. Marshmallow jams of yearning fate as sobs turn into howls. Shelleted beans in covered dish, green gelatin molded high. Relative return a well-used wish, whipped whales and squash-filled pie. Faces blurred as pages turn, names are carved in marbled stone. To wipe mind's eye and relieve the burn, idioms uttered over kilned wishbone. End poem.
I'm hungry. Yeah, you know, you're right about now with my family, my dad's family is huge. There was 12 kids in his family, so I've got uncles and aunts and cousins up the wazoo. We didn't lose any of them, being that there's such a widespread age difference. We didn't lose uncles and aunts, but once they started, you're not prepared for that, because every year there was like two or three gone.
Yeah,
and it just was you're never prepared for it, even though you know it's gonna come. It's part of life. But you know, at least I wasn't. The reality of it is nothing like the thought of it. This is very good. It really hit that feeling. Nice job. Made me cry.
Sorry.
No, okay. I fell today. I need to cry.
Well, I'm glad you're all right.
I'm fine. Table's not so good, but I'm fine. No.
Did the lamp break?
No, it turned on. I might have to put a little glue in there.
That's
what
you have to do. That's what you have to do. If it's not on, smack it. It'll come on.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the crap that was underneath it, I found my stash.
Next time, shoe with the lamp pattern instead of yourself, please.
It was weird, man. It was weird. Just all of a sudden, I was face full into it. So, and all I heard was that I followed and I can't get up because I couldn't.
You shouldn't be laughing, but I'm picturing that little old lady from the commercial.
Oh, I was laughing once I took inventory, and I wasn't. I figured, I'm not hurt. That nerve. Shooting down my leg, I was not able to roll over to get up. And then I sat there and I go, oh, what a wuss. Get the hell up off the freaking floor. You know, I already called Joy. I followed and I can't get up.
And me.
And I go, what a wuss. Yeah, and you.
Joy had a better chance
of
getting to you than I did.
I had to laugh through the phone and my little walker thing with a extension cord for the vacuum. So I'm a regular MacGyver. Give me a piece of gum, I'll get out of it.
Good thing you're cool. And, like, can we tell Stephen how wonderfully sentimental his poem is?
Sure.
Yeah, like, I agree, Stephen. I could feel all the different tugs inside as you were reading. Because, of course, because of a particular holiday, a lot of the similarities in stuff that we did or, you know, whatever was showing through there. And it got me thinking, too, that, I mean, it's not a secret. I lost a sister in kindergarten to SIDS. But other than that, I didn't lose anybody in my life until I had my first child. So, and then all of a sudden it was boom, 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 and it just seems like it hasn't stopped since. One of the other joys of growing up is watching people you love pass, you know. But all the sentimental strings that you were pulling inside were awesome. And Mr. Stephen, I'm noticing there, 233 tens. You go. You're kicking butt and taking names. Keep them coming.
Wait a minute. What? Where do you get those?
He wrote them.
No, I mean, where do you get the numbers? Do you guys have the numbers?
They're on
the list.
Yes.
He has a list, and it says, I got tens. And as a matter of fact, there's 233 of them in there.
What do you mean he could
don't you remember when I kept saying, oh, he's getting close to 200. Oh, he's getting close. Now he's blown it away. We're watching him go towards 300 now.
You know, I reached 1,000 poems, so I saved that one, right? 1,000. I want to make it a special one, so I blah, 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 whatever. And I wrote a couple lines just to have it in there, blah, 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 and I was getting comments on it. Hey, nice job. That's a good idea. No, man, it's not. Read what it says. It says reserved for the poem.
Right. Well, that's why I hate to reserve.
I know.
Because people comment,
nobody,
and then when you actually put a poem there, nobody sees it. I don't reserve.
Nobody did the biggest bozo thing than I. When I first got here to AP, All Poetry, I commented on a one-word poem, reserved. And I happened. And she knows who I am, and God bless her, she doesn't ever bring it up. But I did. She must have laughed all the way to
that
damn
might have
rookie.
Been her.
I wanted to crawl in the hole and run away. I just wanted to leave. So I changed my name.
It's a good start.
Well, let's get the story on this collab.
Yes, we should do the collab. We should do the collab while the audience is with us, I reckon.
We can do that. We can do that.
Did the delay a week or 2 weeks? Just 1 week?
Well, it's 2 weeks old. However, I only got the second set of collab lines a few hours ago.
Correct.
And it wasn't me.
So, you know, I'm why is it that this always happens in the middle of a show? Really, let me just delete this for a minute because,
what happened?
I don't know if he can hear me. The topic is what? I just wanted to answer that real quick, and I am putting the collab up now. And there you go.
Please.
Counting to 10. Deep breath. Here we go. This is collab number 61, blind collab between Hatter and AP. They see the photo, and send me lines without talking to each other, and I thread them together. And this is the outcome of this week's adventure. It's called The Island Sail at the Lighthouse of the Old Man by the Sea. Here we go. Flagons with dragons pretend they are cannons, strolling the docks with the crates and bottles, and old lightkeeper Fred. The skipper will wait with his dogs with one leg, filling his ivory pipe as he tumbles upon a disused lighthouse in fire red. Porches unseen have doors with no screens, with white picket fences marked keep out. So the same pattern of tumble of wear. Baiting the masters to see what she's after, the sounds of getting it on, with occasional visits of tourists to stare. Rats and cats and smelly top hats and parrot gangs with their gulls found is a nautical scramble of brick and brack. Silent returns with seagulls and terns echoing, filling the shells, joined by his friend, the lazy striped cat Mac. Backwards veins while watching the chained mermaids point back to the east as they try to sell their wares to those here. Treasure maps on bones amongst the Viking stones bound to get them home, and his faithful dog Boy is tired sleeping near. Rowboats and paddles and snakes without rattles, the anchors weigh down the pages, then they sail down to watch the waves lull. Deckhands and clocks can see what you've got. The spies are everywhere, and the statues and images are all piled into hole. Whale tales from the handrails are the stories that liars recite and are smiles by all, including the whale. Left to the sea looks like just you and me. What would you wish me to do? Delicately balance on a wharf for sale? And boom.
A dog named Bowie. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Me and you, we have a dog named Bowie.
Well, yeah, it's like that old song. You and me and a dog named Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, don't forget, my dog's going to be super as well.
Yeah.
My dog went in Blue, and I
see him all there.
Nice lines, AP.
Thank you. I eventually got my act in order, and Deb did a fine job combining the two. But it was very slow.
Mm. Well, we understood all the restaurants you had to hit.
In all honesty, AP, we were kind of slightly teasing you because I said to Hatter, well, we got to cut him some slack because he's making up for lost restaurant time and he's trying to get back all those favorite foods he hasn't had for a really long time. So we did come up with an excuse for you.
last quite remarkable. I mean, just some of the food was brilliant. I think the favorite was the Spanish restaurant. Movida was just cool. Had made delicate stuff, you know, hams and buns and just olives. Very impressive. And the Spanish donuts with chocolate dipping sauce with the die for. I almost had seconds. I really did. I know that's silly. But
oh, boy. Sounds yummy, though.
Oh, it was good. I think you did a fine job of this, because they're longer lines, so they're harder to put together. But you sort of carve them out in a way that almost gave them a sort of limerick form in the verse with the sort of double rhyme that going. And so that sort of worked really neatly.
Yeah. You went on a naming rant. You got Fred and Bowie and...
I did.
And, you did. Somebody needs to.
I did.
We got Fred and Matt.
No. It's often a good trick for if you're a rhymer and in trouble, Hatter, you go on the naming convention. Play it all right. Yeah.
don't give that secret out, man.
No, I'm just saying. You know, it's a goodie. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a goodie. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like John Fogerty, he used to just make sounds that rhymed in some of his early songs. The record company said, no, I think you better finish the lyrics here. So he had to.
Now, Stephen, you'll notice that this one is on one of the lists. It says a 10 scored by honor rank. But I have to say that this poem that all I did was add a couple conjunctions to, that I just finished writing together for them 32 minutes ago, knocked all my poems down a peg and took over the number one spot. How about that? You never know what Otto Rank might like. But today he really liked the old man in the lighthouse.
The dog called
Blurts off.
It starts off perfectly. I actually had her just watched the Court Jester about a month or so ago. So the Flagon with the Dragon is the brew of the true. But I like this a lot. I don't think you guys missed any bit of that picture, and it's hard to do with so much going on in there. But I do like the nods to the classic movies and the classic songs as well. I thought this was a great collab.
Thank you, Stan.
Yeah, I saw a chalice in there somewhere and went right to the jester, Court Jester. Yeah, you got to blow them up. You got to zoom in on them and blow them up aside, because there's some stuff in there you won't see.
No. Yeah, with you all the way, Hatter. Yes, yeah, so, you know, you got to get the detail there. Yep. That's what makes it.
Most definitely.
well, I don't know how many tens we've got, Hatter, but that sort of, you know, adds another one to the list.
Yep.
Scary stuff.
Number 61.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, you got anything going on over at your sister station?
Over at Poetic Slice of Life, our next show is Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, a special time because I have to get up extremely early the next day for another inventory. Woohoo!
Couldn't be Monday Night Football, could it? Oh, okay.
But this week in the mortuary, we're actually going to pay homage to the crew of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's almost 46 years since the day that ship sank, and they're still down there somewhere in the bottom of Lake Superior, those guys. I've got some...
They did find the hull, the ship, didn't they? The actual ship, finally?
They did find the ship, yeah.
It's not the people.
So I've got some documentaries in the topic folder to check out if you want to, and of course the song from Gordon Lightfoot. We're gonna honor those men on Monday evening.
Great. I guess in that storm, that boat pretty much broke in half and sank like a stone.
Yep.
Damn.
A rogue wave.
You got your own Devil's Triangle up in the Great Lakes too, don't you? Don't you know?
And? Well, there's a lot of boots at the bottom of Lake Superior.
Those are inland oceans. Those aren't lakes. Those are inland oceans.
They're a lot bigger than most people think they are. Some people are surprised when they get up here that they can't see the other side. They think they look at it on the map and think, you can't get up this on the shore. No, you can't.
Oh. Curvature of the earth. Yeah. I will go fishing up there one day.
Yeah.
I'll come knock on your door. I'll come knock on your door one day.
We'll be here.
Who the hell are you? You talk to me almost every day. Who the hell
are
you?
Just make sure you wear the foil hat and I'll know exactly who you are.
Put the hat on, okay. I'll carry it around with me on my belt. Nobody will see you then.
All righty, we got to hit the road. Or did you want to?
cut.
Yeah,
thanks,
so you gotta
for stopping
hit the
by, man.
Of course.
Because you're always welcome. Yeah. Go Browns.
Love and respect, you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love and respect. Go Browns. Mm-hmm. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Not saving time.
So Deb, the painter of this picture that we did, have we done his before? Is he a regular artist that we've done before?
Yeah, I think so. I'm fairly
sure.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I watch on YouTube. He's an artist and he does black and white, and I follow him. They call it chaotic art. Just when you all over the screen, something like that. It's chaotic art. I didn't know they had a name. Of course, this is more abstract future stuff, yeah.
So, Hatter, I want to do
my
one on top, and then that gives you more time, and then we can do the others that we've got on board, like Frank's and SoundCloud, that sort of stuff.
Well, all I could probably do is give you a couple lines. This is what I've done.
No. We need to do AP's poem and Frank's poem on topic, and then I have those six leftovers that I need us to do.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of time.
I wanted to finish the topic.
So panic not. So I'll do mine now, then we'll do Frank's, and then we'll do those six steps. Yeah, and that gives you a fair bit of time to put some stuff together. Okay. So, this is When Thankful, and it goes a little bit like this. The hint of a breeze and in spring a rich thrill hold another before flees, truth guides while instill. In between leaves, magpie warbles in trill off branches of trees, shadows bending until sun captured to tease among dapples spill, warms by degrees as water falls down the hill. They're joining to seize gulls on sand's mill, their squawks do ease as the waves swill. Sunsetting wheeze in moments still, starlight by degrees upon nebula's drill. A few things that please that I'm thankful fill, my paths as they ease upon my free will. And
He read this to me earlier, Deb, before the show. And now I see it. Nice job, man. Magpie warbles in trill, branches off trees, shadows bending in tow. Man, the rhyme is freaking spot on. Bill, till, until, trill, still. Thrill. So AP, if you were to try to categorize what kind of rhyme you like best or most satisfied with when you're done, could you give a hint of what that would be?
Well, I'm an AB rhymer, Hatter, so you'd have to go with the AB more than AABB. And I guess it just depends. I go for cadence, and so sometimes you've seen the long form rhyme. But in this particular instance, I got into sort of quite a short, sharp sort of sentence. So I was actually quite happy with this for the cadence, if that makes sense. I just like the way it sounded.
I think if you, I don't know if this for a fact, but I think if you stay with that same rhyme sound, that's probably a good idea. I'm not sure of that after I say that, but yeah.
This one's got a lot of lyrical
Do you ever break?
Sorry.
No, sir.
Damn lag.
Do you ever break up your rhyme scheme? Like I do.
I can. I have some, but I tend to. Once I find a rhythm, I tend to go with the rhythm, and if that's the case, I just tend to stick with the cadence. So I don't tend to break it up, not normally.
Yeah. I, for some reason, I've fallen into that habit. I do like to do that. Break it up and bring it back. Good night.
I thought this one was spot on with the cadence, and it had like you could have probably sang this one because it had such a lyrical flow to it. And then you put in the sights and sounds and the sentiment, and it's a beautiful brevity. But like I said, spot on cadence on this all the way through.
You know, I asked AP.
You could read it like
before,
a wall.
When he read this to me.
In Rich Thrill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, sorry, Heather.
That's right. I asked him before if he, with his ear, like, you know, what I do, I will, if I was to use the sound ill as the rhyming, the end rhyming word, what is the next sound that sounds good coming after that?
Yes.
To me, sometimes it's very obvious. Like when he was reading this to me, I wanted Blackbird and Word in there to be somewhere in a line. But at that time, I didn't know it was going to be a constant same sound. Does that make sense to anybody?
I fell into this one, and it's sort of it's going to sound really strange, but it was like the cadence was like the ringing of bells for me. And so it's quite short and sharp. And so as I was going through this, I kept on thinking of that that carol, the Christmas carol, the ringing of the bells.
I can see that with the shorter lines. It's almost a rap. If you bark that out, is barking the right word? If you barked it out, that's probably not right.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just trying to find the see if I could play a little bit of what I was thinking when I was reading this.
You had mentioned a musical sound or a musical scheme.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a carol of the bells was the one. And it's out of West Wing that I was watching it the other night again, that episode. It's a Christmas episode, and they finish it with a sort of carol of bells. So
now, is that where they have those big brass bells and the guy's got the gloves on?
Yeah, they're smaller, though, in this particular episode. But each of them have their own bell, and they do it quite, you know, distinctly in time. I'm just going to try and find this.
Does it have to be by anyone specific?
Right.
Here you go. That's the right
spam, 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 spam. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So Hatter, this is the one that I remember.
Yeah.
I'll see if
and that sounds like Monty Python,
and it's quite tight and sharp. And the thing about it in this episode is that the person who's playing the character who won the Emmy Award for this episode, he equated music to sirens because he had post-traumatic stress disorder. And so he heard those bells and he was hearing something. And in the background, what Aaron Sorkin does, the director does, is they actually meld the sirens to those bells as they finish, which is just such a brilliant piece of work. It's brilliantly done, and one of my favourite episodes. But it's Noel from The West Wing. That was the rhythm in my head when I wrote that poem.
You know what? When I first started writing, I depended on some kind of tune in my head. When I was dry and if you get the juices flowing, I'd put on nostalgic old classic 60s rock just to get the flowing. And I had to maintain that whatever tune it was and whatever part of the whatever song, I seem to have needed that. I don't think I need it now. But yeah.
But it's interesting, because it's not a fixed syllable count all the way through, but it flows really well. And I bet if you actually looked at the cadence of those bells, they don't ring for the same length of time. They ring for different lengths of time, whether they're high-pitched or low-pitched.
You know, there's a couple of comedy skits that some of these old teams did with those bells. I don't know which one it was. Probably Costello. Costello.
So. There you go. That's how I sort of worked with it. It was based off the bells.
I see Laughing Soul says she's missed a beautiful topic. You didn't miss it. It's still going on. Call in. Has she called in before, Laughing Soul?
She usually makes us sound clips. As a matter of fact, at the moment, Frank's is on the board, which is the last one on topic, and then one of the ones left from last night is actually Laughing Soul.
Why don't we buy Frank's one so that we've done the topic, and then we'll go from there, Deb. I'll go to the studio and
Frank is up there now, and then I thought maybe we could do Laughing Souls while she's here, but I did put Frank's up already.
That he's given to us.
Are you in the studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see the light, I must first be in the darkness. And to rid myself of the darkness, I must believe there is actually light. To see the world, I must first see my shadow. For it is my shadow that I must emerge from. To understand life, I must first learn to live. And to live is to understand that I shall one day die. But death will not define me, nor shall I be thus remembered by its day. Instead, death will only be the year I die in nothing more than absolute. If I am to know of my strength, I must know my weakness in earnest, for it is the only way my strength will prevail over my weakness. If I am to overcome my pain, I must first realize it does not hold me hostage, and pain is just a measure of my sadness or despair. But sadness can become happiness, and depression can become the joy of living another day upon this earth. To love, you must first have to bear the bitterness of regret, then allow your heart to love and to be loved deeply. The heart must always beat to the rhythm of love, never to the silence of its gradual isolation in time. To gain wisdom, I must first gain knowledge through the seed of the apple I first bit from. To destroy my demons, I must first distinguish the truth of my reality, then my drear illusions. Art is the illustration of my reality, though abstract. It is, nevertheless, the reality. I must comprehend.
This is very moving.
In the poem.
Moving. Wow. Art is the illustration of my reality, though abstract. Art is the illusion of my reality, though abstract. It is nevertheless the reality I must comprehend. That is beautiful. That last line, that last stanza. What do you think, AP?
Well, I thought it was interesting, particularly where it started, which was, you know, in order to understand life, you have to work out that one day that you will die. And from that point onwards, he sort of thinks about, you know, what is reality and what is love and what is it that we are, and then gets to that point that you talked about, Hatter, with art being an illusion, but in a reality we must comprehend. And I actually really like the thought behind this. There's a depth of thought and a depth of thought that just exudes all the way through this poem. And I think it's the philosophy of the poem is really interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of not odd or anything, but I would most likely expect the beginning lines to be more towards the end, and the description of appreciation and your strengths and weaknesses to be before you define death.
No, but it sort of defines the thinking behind it, Hatter. It's quite deliberate in that everything else doesn't start unless you've actually worked out that what you're in is going to finish. If that makes sense.
That's true. It does. It does. And that's probably why you get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to, this is a good line, but sadness can become happiness and depression can become the joy of living another day upon this earth.
You frame things happen to you, that work out how we determine how we view things. It's a very strong personal philosophy within this poem.
You know, when they say, when people talk about past history and people's lives, the epiphany every soul's supposed to have about finding your own niche, why you're here, that kind of, you don't hear that anymore as much. I don't know if I've had that. I thought I did. As a firefighter, when you save your first life, you go, that's it. That's why I'm here.
Yep.
It's an odd but very powerful concept. Yeah, this is probably one of the deepest ones of Frank's, I think.
Yes. Now, Deb, did you want to say a few words about Frank's poem?
Sure, yeah. I remember this one because the first time when I heard him read it, it was the tone in his voice that struck me first, because I think I had gotten so accustomed to hearing him in his full-on theatrical, dramatic read versus a more personal, maybe introspective. I thought that it was very emotional and contemplative, and that, you know, like there were realizations being spelled out, stuff like that. So I thought it was more, there was more of Frank in here than poetic Picasso, the dramatic reader. And yeah. I kind of yeah. like that he put more of him in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Frank?
Yeah, I remember when Frank first started calling in. To me, he was the linguist. He was a linguist from Europe, and found out he's not from Europe.
Yeah.
no, he was from, but.
Yes.
Well, he used to call in the last gig a lot, and then he was gone for quite a while. So it was really awesome when we heard his voice again, and he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he used to actually call Lou a lot. On Mondays
yes.
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever he call into one of my shows, I'd pick his brain as much as possible. Where are you from? What do you do? How do you? How many languages?
You are the question, man.
I am. You do not want to be a medical tech in an MRI room with me there, because I will find out everything you know about it.
I do. You told me.
Now, Deb, we have,
yes.
in the background, we have Laughing Skull, who's on the board. Now, did you want to read her poem for her?
That's a good one, Ashley. Uh-oh.
Hello, Deb.
There it is. Did we lose her? Laughing Soul.
I don't know.
She might have.
She was there.
She might have to switch phones. If her battery runs out.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I can't.
Oh.
My windows are all frozen. I can't. I don't know if I have to restart or what the heck's going on. But I'm going to try something. But yeah, there's a recording in the studio for Laughing Soul.
Oh, it's there. Oh,
okay.
Even better. Okay.
We can hang.
I will.
I hate windows.
I'll play the recording at her while we're unfreezing phones. So here we go. This is Laughing Soul.
All right.
And her poem.
Broken Song of the Night Songstress by Laughing Soul. Heaves and sighs, nightingale, there's not flute melodia. Strings broken, chords frozen, shares not her rhapsodia. Erratic tides, brumous phases, veiled cherubic flutters. Crimson dreams, ashen heart, swart primrose clusters. Whistles and trills, gurgles and laughs, her soul bared it all. Flutters now a silent song on wings of darkness, linger shadows on bent bow, and scarlet notes are hearken. Awaits the songstress a dulcet crescendo. Stars, her unsung chirrup's echo. Fall, softly quells the night russet. And the muse, her broken song bellows. And the muse, her broken song bellows. End poem.
There we go.
Okay. Wow.
That.
Was that the female Frank?
Well,
And I mean that with all due respect. I mean that all due respect.
No. But quite different. The very carefully chosen with the music theme in the background and sort of almost sung really as much as read and worked really, really well. I was quite intrigued by how it came together. Actually, I wasn't sure when you started where you were going to take it, but I thought, as I said, the production of putting that backing vocal, which was quite sparse, but was sort of like a bird trilling in the background. And the way that that worked with your lines was very clever. So I thought that worked really, really well. I don't know about you, Hatter, but...
I have a question. In the...
A question? Okay.
Look down to the third stanza there, erratic tides, Brumus phases, veiled her cherubic. The cherub, that's how
cherubic.
You spell the cherub, the fat little angel, right? Fat little angel?
That's cherubic.
Then go down.
Yes.
Yeah, then go down a couple more to awaits the songstress. See that? Stanza,
yes.
Awaits the songstress, adult, yes. Crescendo. Okay, her unsung cherub's echo. Okay,
cherub.
What's
yeah?
Yeah, what is that?
What's a cherub? A cherub?
Yeah.
A cherub?
I don't know what that is.
Oh well, it's a short, high-pitched sound, like the chirrups of crickets or of a small bird.
Oh, okay. Don't suppose those fat little angels make that sound? Okay.
No. It's different word. Different word. So the chirrup is a word.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think where it comes from. I'm just seeing where it comes from. I'm used to it as an English word. And it tells me it was first used in 1722. It doesn't tell me where. So anyway, I'm just going to do a quick look at that just to see if I can find out. But I've always thought of it as an English word, chirrup.
Okay. Yeah, this one would have had me scrambling through this thesaurus, and I don't mind voicing immediately that I don't know what that word is, because that's how I learn what it is.
Yeah. Oh no. Absolutely. And. What I'm getting at the minute is it comes from the English, first used in 1772, but it's not a widely used word, Hatter, at all.
Okay. I think that's what threw me. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I knew I didn't know what it was.
No, they have a frequency of word use in Collins, and this is one out of five sort of frequency word in terms of its use. It's from chirp, but it's from the British, and chirp.
Let's see. One legend tells how nightingales once only lived in India. When one nightingale visited Ukraine, hearing sad songs from the people, the nightingale sang its song to cheer them up. The people responded with happy songs, and since then, nightingales have visited Ukraine every spring to hear Ukrainian songs. National poet tells.
Well, there you go.
That explains it. Even the memory of a nightingale song makes men makes man happy. Okay.
I can believe that.
Beautiful. Now, I've seen that name before. Gitanjali Jali Kapoor. I've seen that name. Is that a famous writer, poet, philosopher?
Yes. On the web, yes.
All the way across, okay. Beautiful.
All the way across.
Now, you guys got to admit, from even 3 years ago when we started this radio thing, quality of the poems and the rites that are coming across that we're reading is just, I mean, is it just me or is it, it's just noticeably so much better?
No. There's a consistency of thought and production, for want of a better word, Hatter, that I think is quite impressive. So, to me, it's the consistency of the word use and how people go about things, and the fact that everybody is more sitting within their own style and comfortable within their own style.
It makes me feel like I'm standing still and everybody else is racing by me. some better
information. Give me a break.
I think that's the case. I think everybody.
Well,
I think everybody. Let me make two comments about that. The first is that writing is not an incremental thing. Writing just happens, and people don't get better every poem. They get better gradually over a series of poems. And
yeah.
You don't turn around and say, oh, I've just done one poem and that's better clearly than every other one that I've done. You notice little bits and pieces of change and things, whether it's cadence or rhyme or whatever. And then you turn around maybe 3-4 months down the track and say, no, I'm actually writing slightly better than what I was, you know. So it's an incremental thing, I think.
Yeah, and then you run across that time where you're hitting that dry spell and you're starting to write and you're going, wow, I suck.
We all suck on it.
Nothing's working.
We all suck on it.
That's what I do every pain out I did, except for the first one. I have totally self-destructed by going back and editing. No, tweak this, tweak that. Then I'm pretty sure it's just a generic, you know, piece of garbage.
No. Turn to Deb if we want to get an understanding of how to win in the Winter Park competition. Now, Deb, you
gotta hang around Deborah Moore.
A poem on the board by Iris Free. Now
yes,
we don't have a stand
no
up for that.
For that.
Okay.
Thanks, Laughing Soul.
Yeah. Who do you think? Do you want me to read it, or do you want Hatter to read it, or yourself to read it? What do you think?
No, you must go ahead because I don't believe it. It's gender specific, and just you guys know, the photo in this was taken by our own Sky. Just saying.
Sky.
Okay. Righto. Well, this is A Tropical Autumn by Iris Three, and it goes a little bit like this: sunshine now hauls a silver train, bedaubing skies of baby blue, while sparrows sing a sweet refrain as morning fog makes crystal dew. A steady shower of limelight fills dappled dots through pages green, so branches' acrobatic flight attempt to cup this diamond sheen. The boughs extend their fluffy hands to weave a fleecy eiderdown of softest leaves that deck the land and spill more green on forest crowns. Cool breezes blow a breathless song for youngest leaves to dance and twirl, that sketch a merry trail along of emeralds that splash and swirl. The finches waltz across tight ropes with warp and weft of gold and jade. On strings of pearl the doves brings hope through trellis frames of white and shade. The clouds have left a sapphire sky, sunlight to stream this autumn day. Reflecting in on our smiling eyes, we laugh and roam, our spirits fade. End poem.
Sky. This is beautiful. This is just, I mean, the flow, the cadence, the words. Dang. Sky. Beautiful.
The photo is Skies. The poem is by Iris Three.
Oh.
Yeah. Sky does a series of contests called Shutter Button Poetry, and she uses her photography to prompt everyone. I've been in a lot of them, and this is one of those. And I agree. Amazing rhyme and cadence, and she's got not one, not two, but 3 silver medals and a bronze for this. It's so popular.
Wow.
You did a brilliant job.
And
I take it back.
I take it back. Iris, nice job. Nice picture. Sky. Nice picture. I hate it when I do that. This is Iris Three.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's not gonna be Irish. I don't know. What's Gwen's? Isn't she an Iris? Oh, no, that's Irish. Okay.
It's Irish, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Irish.
Yeah, yeah, this is Irish, like the flower in the photo. Well, that's not really an Irish in the photo,
yeah.
Is it? No. But anyway,
hydrangea.
It's Irish.
Hydrangea, I believe. Beautiful. But now I'm all messed up. Nice going. Yeah.
You know why it flows so well?
Why?
Because it has 8 syllables in every line. That's why.
Zing.
It was a beautiful read too, AP. She'll be thrilled when she listens to the tape tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was bitching to AP about sonnets earlier.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said, you know, you put the hard work in and you get the...
I'm trying to finish collabs.
You get
what's
the 8 syllables, you just feels right.
Yeah.
I said I miss all the pre-show fun when I'm trying to finish up these collabs at the last...
We have a good chat, Deb, and just talk about what's coming up and what's not, and, you know, the way things are landing, you know, all that stuff. So...
Like minutes to a meeting, to go through it. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes. Yes, like the... What are they
now falls the silver training.
It's very nice.
Now, does Iris write to us, to our shows all the time? I recognize her recently a couple times, but I'm terrible at names.
No.
Okay.
I don't think she has. I think we've only got it today because Deb's got a few carryovers from the previous show.
Yeah, she's a constant, pretty much constant contributor on Mondays and other shows when she can as well. But she is still fairly new.
Can I read her author's
list? I've been in a couple of contests with her. She scores, or she places a lot in the contest. People love her poetry.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the author's notes, or I will? Because it describes some information.
You can.
Go ahead, Hatter.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because in tropical countries like India, where I live, autumn is completely different from temperate countries like in Europe. Trees and leaves are far from turning red and brown and yellow. If anything, they become even more greener. Having flourished with the water of the monsoonal rains. Interesting. The blue skies and the sun are a welcome sight after several weeks of cloudy weather. Interesting. So while everybody else is dying off leaves, they're getting deeper green in a tropical country. So that's like in the Tropic of whatever it is, Cancer, Capricorn, or whatever.
India's near it to the center in terms of the Earth, Hatter, and their weather is largely around the monsoon period. It's from June to September. Yeah, and areas of Western and Central India get more than 90% of their rainfall in that time. So very, very wet.
I wonder what they thought. When it snowed in Egypt. That must have been an eye-opener. Joy's home.
Hi, Joy.
I had to lay down on the ground. No, she just heard a car pull up. I had to lay down on the ground. Where have you been? Sorry.
No, it's cool. She'll probably want to feed you soon, so let's get these zipping. Like, if you click on Buddha, he has a song, and he has a sound
clip. And he's got a song there.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, sir, and he's got a SoundCloud for YouTube.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm. give me a sign. Gonna down on my knees. Give me a sign, 'cause I'm down on my knees. I'm begging for sweet mercy. But I'm too blind to see. When the naysayers plead their implausibilities, the naysayers plead their implausibilities. Deep down inside of me, yeah, I sense my own reality. The hearing of bleeding, a heartbeat is beating so proud. Charcoal sketch teething in black and white, breathing so loud. Yet those poor wretches try so hard to direct me indirectly, to correct and direct me now. Next to me then, who are we? When the end lies in the eyes of the beginning.
Hatter, what would you call that? Is this sort of Louisiana blues or something along those lines? Southern blues?
Hatter, are you muted?
Hello, hello.
Yes, I was. Yeah, you're right. No, is that had that bluesy sound to it, and then that his guitar picking. That one twang at the, I forget, it was the end of the chorus or the beginning of the intro or the outro or something.
Yeah.
Very, very well. I wonder what chords those were. I'm not good at that, but they were interesting.
No. Just had something that was quite distinctively sort of Southern about it. I don't know what it was. So I can't tell you what it was, but it just sort of felt that sort of, yeah.
What? I see you put at the bottom of his AN, oh, too much fun for one day. Yeah. Nice job, though.
He has so many great songs, and to write them and then to play some music for yourself while you're singing it for everybody. I mean, gosh, I'm jealous. I wish I could play something and come up with this kind of...
Yeah, it takes a lot. It takes a certain amount of courage and
skill,
confidence in yourself. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I'm hoping he comes on board. Hope he comes on board and does a couple shows. Be nice.
It would be awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
But I believe he's got his hands full. All the best to his mom while she gets better. And then maybe get him on air.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Deborah, don't bite.
Not most of the time.
Now, Deb, you have put on the next one, and this one too has a SoundCloud, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Is it Naomi?
Okay. By Naomi, yes, one of our sweep winners in the Melbourne Cup, I hasten to add. So I've got Naomi's here, so I'm just going to play it now.
Right.
Caged in, gripped inside with scarlet harshness of the grinding of rust on table legs, loud smacking of grape-drenched gum, the tap, tap, tap of drumming fingers. While outside, cobalt clouds are so much more than just denim stains on copy paper. I need to blur into the silent edges of a tarmac sky, lick the soles of abandoned shoes, drift with windswept tumbleweed into cornflower fields full of dreams where my footsteps have never taken me.
Mm-hmm. Road not taken. That line, cobalt clouds are so much more than just denim stains on copy paper. Mm-mm-mm. Tasty.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
I can really relate to the tap, tap, tapping the drumming and finger. I had a habit of when I would wear my boots, which I wore all the time, I would my foot keeping time.
Yes.
Just in my just to make it right. Making it unconscious and to drive us.
There you go.
Well, I'm a drummer, man. Getting the band back again.
No. No, very, very well very well written, and a gold winner in one of your competitions, Deb.
Yes. Yeah, it grabbed me, this one. I don't remember the photo. It doesn't much matter because the wording was just so gripping. It knew that by the time she was done, you knew she felt caged in. You knew drift with windswept tumbleweed. So it was also a word bank poem. I always am so impressed by where people take my word banks. And this one, just like I said, and she had to bring it in with 99 words or less. I thought she did a brilliant job. Hence that delayed gold.
That was one of the rules, 99 words or less? Or she just happened to get one on her 99
words or less.
Really?
She had to use six colors from the crayons, and then there were some art choices by Fine Art America. There is a photo that is a cloud in a bird cage up in the sky.
Oh, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really brilliant. Cool. Yeah. Anyhow.
I just saw something with no explanation. I wasn't following Naomi. I had to follow.
Oh.
What the hell was that?
I know, sometimes I come across where I'm like, I'm not following you. Are you kidding me?
I've
seen that happen before. So, the next one, there is a SoundCloud as well.
Yep.
You might have to refresh.
Yep.
And then after this, we have one more SoundCloud by Shelley, and then if Wayne doesn't call by then, you can just read for him.
Okay.
So if you want to
go and play Jethro's SoundCloud, here we go now.
Not yet. You are not quite done with this falling in and out of love. Sweetly please, beloved one, that song you've been humming, sing it, please do, which seems such a lovely tune, for its sincerity and its gentleness. Faintly then, heart of mine, the story you asked for, I'll tell once more when we've gone to bed and your tired eyes have fallen asleep and mine almost. Quietly come, we as one, let's find a dream for you, a blue or maybe a beautiful lavender one. I know how much you love those hues.
There you go. We don't hear enough harmonica for me. I love the harmonica as an instrument. And it's been around for years and has great history because, of course, it was very small. It'd be carried around. But a very impressive harmonica playing. I like the poem too. Ada, what did you think? Ada?
Unmute.
He might.
Damn, That's two in a row. Okay.
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just thinking, Hatter, did you listen to it, or should I get Deb to comment?
No, I would just say this was very good. It was a sort of a weak recording, but that's not his fault either. It just happens.
I'm
rereading it because I came late. Jethro. Okay, he writes in a different style. He's got to be a guitar player too or something.
Yeah. Okay. Deb, what did you think of Jethro's
Well, I like the fact at the bottom he said he's grateful for the beauty of things like lullabies. And then you look at this, like, for an example, the second stanza, sweetly please, beloved one, that song you've been humming, sing it, please do. It seems a lovely tune for its sincerity and its gentleness. So it's like he took the little lullaby himself. And I thought this was a more gentler side of, and I thought that, yeah, if that's him playing the harmonica himself, I'm like, wow, because I'm pretty sure he does play other things. But he seems to be having fun making the sounds too, so it was a great share.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really, I love the harmonica. I go a long way to hear a bit of harmonica playing, and that was the brilliant harmonica playing, and the poem was terrific. So thank you, Jethro, and we're going to head to Shelley, Deb.
Yes.
And so she's got a sound found as well, so I'm going to play that now.
Tears. Bottling up all your tears like wine for your later years, except it's not better with age, keeping this emotion in a cage. It's like blocking up a river, preventing your life giver, stopping the energetic flow. You must let the tears go. When they start to come, let the streams just run. Let nature take its course. Feel the tidal waves force. It will eventually subside, drift away like the tide. If you keep it all locked up, you will become all blocked up. Your tears will begin to boil, building pressure like a coil, until something comes to disrupt, and like a volcano, you erupt, unleashing streams of liquid fire that will destroy all you desire. So please, try your best just to release. The tears that fall bring you peace. End poem.
Great little sound cloud there too. In that particular piece by Shelley. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Tears by Shelley?
Yeah, I'm really thrilled that she stumbled in and she keeps participating and making these. I love her voice, and her shares are always awesome. And there's something in the middle here. Let nature take its course. Feel the tidal waves force, it will eventually subside. I kind of like that. The take it as it comes. Tomorrow will be a better day type of feel there. And then towards the end, where's that book? Until something comes to disrupt like a volcano, you erupt. I like the relation to the volcano there, unleashing steam, liquid fire. It's like that, like a temper or anger or hurt or pain. It's just, a release, an eruption. So I thought the wording was really great, too. Keep them coming, Shelley. I'm really enjoying the poetry. Thank you.
Shelley, well done. Hatta, did you have a chance to listen to that one?
I have to make my apologies because I just had cheesecake delivered.
I know, that's okay. No. Important things happening in the head of our household, so that's fine. Now, Deb, we've got one more by one. May or may not have been stopping past, and then we've got a poem. If I read Wayne's poem, that then add her a few more minutes to put something together for this. Now, I should have just said it's my turn next week.
Yep, your turn.
yes, because this was your theme, Hatter, so that would logically mean
this was mine.
That mine, yes. And so, Hatter, I spoke to you about this, but my the theme for next week is auroras. And you can choose. You can go to the south and you can go to Aurora Australis, or you can go to the north and you can have aurora for the north lights, or the auroras, or the southern lights, if you will.
Or the aurora, the black. Oh, we can't go aurora, how do you describe it? The ridiculously fast secret project called the aurora?
Yes, no. No, we're looking for natural lights, Hatter. So we just go with the natural one.
Okay.
Or the aurora borealis. Yes, so you can go, as I said, south or north, don't mind. But either way. That's for next week. Aurora.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all about the magnetic field of the Earth, right? What happens when the poles switch?
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Okay.
I might try a simple auroras, but in the absence of that, we're going to just look at how beautiful they are and the colours and everything. So there you go. That's for next week. Auroras. Now, I will do then. Wayne's poem, which is Freddie, Oh Freddie, Where Are You? Nice, gentle love poem, obviously. And so I will do that. And then, Hatter, you've got only a few minutes to get something together. Do you think you'll have something together? Question mark.
Nah, it ain't going to happen, AP, unless you want me to read a bunch of scraggy lines.
No, we don't need scraggy lines. That's Well, if that's the case, this is the last poem of the night. This is by Wayne. Freddie,
before you do that, I just read Shelley's verse, and it's a very good. Concept was well written. Okay, in comment.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was. No. Okie doke. So go with Wayne, and it goes a bit like this. Freddie, you are so cool, leaving everyone like cool. Up parties, like you are my number one slut. You're not good looking, so definitely so trim. You have given us all a deadly thrill, Stephen. Don't with me, I'll pull my Luger, has to pull its Hunter Kruger. I think everyone why you wear that out of style clothes. I'm not scared, just for you part of your bloody gore. So go out tonight and give it a whirl. Can't flip with that. Well, it's getting late. There's no way I can ever go to sleep. I think I will start early. Like my little killer porn. I don't like it. It's better than you staring.
Yeah,
and I do like
Stephen did it. AP, I thought we should do a murder mystery. Do a murder mystery over there.
We should do a murder mystery. Yes, I think that's a good idea.
We should.
My
people call your people.
We should. We should call our people to talk.
You call his people.
That's you. You know.
I know. I'm already here.
Could have other people them. I don't know. You know. Could. Who the heck knows? You know. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who the heck knows? So. Anyway. And that's
Wayne.
Wayne Gent style, I have to say. You know, when in doubt, you know, go the sort of
love poem about Freddy Krueger, and at the in the AN say that to Stephen, I gave him your address. I think that was very sweet.
Yeah,
only Wayne
I saw
could.
That.
Yeah, only Wayne could sort of go there.
I love the ending though.
He's understated, Wayne. He's understated, and I like that about him. And he picks his topic, and then he sort of rolls it at 90 degrees from where you think the ball's going to go and sort of bounces it against the wall, and it still comes back well every time. So very neat.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wayne, this is Wayne's comment back to a reply to a comment. I write some crazy stuff. You think?
He's unapologetic, his crazy stuff, and he does it consistently, and you know, he does it, he's known for it now, Tata, you know, to the point where he got a poem written about him by Titus. You know, Titus doesn't write a poem just about anybody. And the last poem he wrote was about Wayne.
So, Deb, remember how we recruited Wayne?
How
that happened? How that happened, we got him calling in and being a part of our group. It was right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago. And I did a show on Joe Bonamassa. And he had a bunch of his rocker friends, some older guys, got together, and they watched the whole concert at Royal Albert Hall. And he was very impressed, and got him calling in.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. That worked. So, Deb, we have officially end of the poems, and it's only 15 minutes to go, I have to say, so we haven't really missed very much. So, Hatter, I'll hand it back to you to...
I got two words. Cheesecake.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Okay.
What flavor?
Just plain. No topping.
Oh, just plain. No. Well, you know what I'm asking. Lots of different flavors. So it could have been anything, you know. So, you can say cheesecake, and I'll say.
I was just reminded cheesecake's one word.
Okay.
Did she make it, or did she buy it?
She delivered it right to my hands.
So we should thank Stephen and Kay for coming along. In the first few minutes, we should thank all of those folk who gave us SoundClouds, whether it was Budo, Frank, Jethro, Laughing Soul, Naomi or Shelley. We should thank Deb for putting together the collaboration at record time, given that I gave her about 45 minutes. And we should thank your good self and possibly me. And I think that's about it.
Great show.
A lot of great poems tonight.
It was.
Yeah, that was good fun. Good quality poems tonight. It was good fun. So, with all of that, I know what we're going to do. I really like the Killers version of Electric Blue. That is my old theme.
Oh.
We're going to have the Killers singing Electric Blue. Here we go. Catch everybody for Auroras next week. Bye, everybody.
Aurora.
Love and respect.
Aurora. Yeah, great thing. I'll give an explanation.
If a boy had a chance with someone like you, are you gonna break his heart? Let him cry for the moon. Are you hiding somewhere?
love that. And that's the best version of that. Still is doing electric blue. And next week, Auroras. Until then, have a great
yep.
day. We'll see you back on.
All right, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Night,
thanks,
guys.
Deb.
Bye.